What's up? Welcome to Warriors HQ, a very somber Warriors HQ. When we scheduled this, Wes, we were going to talk about whomever the Warriors took as their draft pick, what kind of trades they had made on what was going to be a wild and wacky trade day, and we are not really going to talk about that. James Wiseman is but an afterthought when you know what went down with Klay Thompson today with his torn Achilles. Just first off, man, your thoughts on just a heartbreaking injury from a universally beloved player.
Yeah, man, it's really tough. You know, you hate to see injuries happen like this, especially when the guy like just doesn't even get a chance. You know, he'd been working so hard to come back from that torn ACL that he suffered in July or June of 2019. And
eons ago.
He'd been working every day to bounce back from that. And finally, you know, you get some clarity as to when the season's going to start, and he's ramping up and he's supposed to be ready for training camp and all this. And he doesn't even get a chance to test that knee, to do anything, because, you know, you see this sometimes happen in leg injuries where you injure one and you overcompensate in the other. But he's trying to get ready for the start of the season. I do wonder how much the hastened start to everything factors into this. You know, you see players try to ramp up and get into game shape. He was in LA working out with some other players, and you know, it's a freak Achilles injury like we saw with Kevin Durant. You can't really help it, but you know, this is the nature of the NBA, and I wonder, like, first, it sucks for Klay, but you wonder how many more of these injuries we might see in the NBA because the league is pushing the start of this so soon that we're having an abbreviated training camp, a really short preseason. Like, I don't know how many of these players are going to be in shape. Like, and I'm not talking about cardiovascular fitness, Dieter. I'm talking about preventative shape, you know, and Klay obviously wasn't.
Yeah, it's a great thought. Obviously, kind of a somber one, but one that I hadn't let my mind get to. So I'm glad that you were able to go there. We've seen this in the NFL this year. I mean, there are just freak injuries, quote unquote, freak injuries left and right. And a lot of people are blaming the fact that, you know, listen, they didn't have a full training camp. They had to get the season underway in a rapid way. It's hard to say what ultimately caused it, and we can speculate all day, every day. We don't want to dive into the conspiracy theories here. Ultimately, it happened, and the Warriors know all too well about that kinetic chain, or what is it, the kinesthesiology or whatever chain that they have going on. I mean, the three injuries now in the past year and a half when it comes to overcompensation in the lower body. We saw it with DeMarcus Cousins coming back from the Achilles injury, and then his calf blows out, and then his ACL blows out, and I don't know if he'll ever play in the league again. I really don't, and that's a shame. Say what you will about DeMarcus Cousins the person, but he was a hell of a basketball player, and to be robbed of that talent is tragic. We've seen it with Kevin Durant, obviously, where he had the calf injury, and then guess what? It became a whole Achilles injury after he took about a month off and plays 12 minutes in game 5 of the 2019 NBA Finals. And now we see it with Klay Thompson. And, you know, Kobe Bryant, well before he passed, mentioned that when he tore his Achilles, it was, he thought, because of an injury on the other side of his lower body. This is just how it goes. And we maybe gave a bit too much deference to Klay because Klay has been so bionic throughout his career. We just presumed that he would bounce back from this ACL, no problem. But there is really now, there are very few. I think there were three. Kevin Pelton found three cases of players who have had both an Achilles and an ACL injury, and only one of them was even remotely germane to what's going on with Klay. And I suppose Cousins is then the fourth. It's pretty tragic. And my theory at this juncture is, you know, you and I have talked about this a lot, and this has been a main topic of conversation. We haven't had much else to talk about. What would Klay look like coming off of the ACL? And I think it was fair to expect a certain diminishment of his athletic ability. And I heard a lot of speculation. I believe Chris Mullin on NBC Sports Bay Area last night was saying that he expects Klay to be able to bounce back no problem. And I appreciate that optimism. Lord knows I could use some of it. But the Achilles is a whole different beast. And, you know, we talked about this ad nauseum with Kevin Durant coming off of the Achilles, and we're still yet to see it. What would that look like? What kind of athleticism would that rob him of? And ultimately Klay is not an uber athletic player. And that's being, you know, posited as a reason why he can bounce back from that. I'm of the mindset currently, and I hope I'm wrong, that Klay has been robbed of what, you know, marginal relative to his peers athleticism he did have, and that you really do need a pretty high level to get on the floor. And if he was kind of already scraping by comparatively again to his peers, this is really, really bad news.
And he's not 7 feet tall like KD either.
He can just shoot over dudes.
Right. Kevin Durant doesn't need to do, he doesn't need athleticism. He could just shoot over guys, like you said. With Klay, and the idea here is that injuries don't tend to affect shooters as much. And you know, you throw the Dirk Nowitzki thing out there, but Dirk, like KD, was 7 feet tall. Klay Thompson's 6'6". And you can't in the NBA just be a standstill shooter anymore. And play at Klay Thompson's level. I mean, Klay will always have a job because he's going to be able to shoot, but if he's limited to standing still in the corner, that's not where the NBA is going. We just saw in these NBA finals, look at Duncan Robinson. Every shot he takes is on the move. Tyler Hero, like, this is where the NBA is going. You need to be able to come off of pin downs and screens and shoot on the move, and that's what Klay Thompson did so well. And if he can't do that anymore, that's what we're talking about. Him getting robbed of that ability to relocate, to keep moving, to around the arc and get open. Like, that's what we're talking about here, not the shot. We have, like, people
that release will still be quick. It might come back quicker, right?
Sure, but like, people are going to still be able to close out on it, and he's just not, his effectivity is going to be so limited if he can't come off of screens and do what he was able to do as far as shooting on the move. He becomes basically PJ Tucker at that point, right? And that's like on offense, and that's not not great, you know. I think that this is really detrimental to what the Warriors want to do here, because you've now lost two prime years of Klay Thompson's career.
You're losing one of Steph Curry here. I mean, this is the thing, that's also the Splash Brothers, right? Like, go ahead.
The Warriors have to start thinking of a future of maybe just having a splash only child and not the Splash Brothers anymore.
Well, they're going to get a hard lesson, because this year, I mean, it's going to be a really, I'm having a hard time seeing a positive realm here, because not only do they need to make some dramatic moves, even more so than they already did, now the entire league knows that they are wholly desperate, and they do not have very many mechanisms to make those moves.
No. So quickly, I was thinking about this. Warriors with Klay, top four team in the West, right? It's them, fair. Lakers, Clippers, Nuggets.
Yeah. It's very competitive, and there are certainly situations where they are, you know, down to the six. Like, let me put it to you this way. I don't think the Warriors with Klay Thompson, if they were to appropriately handle the offseason, as I think they would have been fighting, you know, would have been in consideration for the play-in games, which are the 7, right. 8, 9, 10 seats. They wouldn't have been in consideration there.
And then you have a sizable gap after that. And I know the West is loaded, but you've got some teams that are winning now, Lakers, Clippers. You've got some other teams that are really stocking up for the future, Mavericks, Pelicans. And now the Warriors are sort of in the middle of that. The James Wiseman pick telegraphed that they are planning for the second half of the decade, just like they're planning for this current, what they call the championship window, Steph's window. Right. Now, I think that Klay Thompson's injury closes that window. I really do. I think that's what we're talking about here. But if you're the Warriors, then you have two routes that you can go in. Double down on the future and just let Steph play out the rest of his career and acknowledge, hey, it was a good run, man. You won three championships. You know, you're going to be a Hall of Famer. Hang your hat on that. Or do you try, or you say, hey, Steph's 30 years old or 32 years old. We still think that he's good enough to lead a championship team in these next 2 years. Let's go find a superstar to pair with him, because that's what we're talking about here. The trade exception, you need to use it. You need to go make the right free agent decisions. But if you go get Kelly Oubre with the trade exception, fantastic. He's fixing anything right now. Like, the value of a Kelly Oubre or an Eric Bledsoe or something like that on the TPE with Klay is so much different than without Klay. But you still have to make that move, but you need to now be telegraphing for the trade deadline. And I mean the trade deadline. That's how urgent we're talking about, because you can't waste another year of Steph's prime. You did last year. You can't do it again. Yeah. You need to make another move. You need to push your chips in by the trade deadline. That's the level of urgency that we're talking about here, because if you don't, you might as well just kick the can and say, you know what? The future of the franchise is with James Wiseman. Let's try to win a championship in 2027.
Yeah, that's just not going to play. It's not going to play in this market. No, it's not going to play. It's not going to play with Steph, and it sure as shit ain't going to play with Draymond. Pardon my French there. He would ask out before and that happens. So
and so those are two routes, right? Is play for the future or make the win now move? And I think you and I agree.
Are they mutually exclusive? Of course, yes. But are they mutually exclusive concepts?
Now. They are now. They weren't before Clay got hurt. They are now because.
Well, let's break it down then, because a name that has been ballyhooed about, and I think fairly, is Bradley Beal. And guess who has a wide open shooting guard spot, and the Warriors should probably operate until proven incorrect that they will have an open shooting guard spot in perpetuity. I think that you have to write off Klay Thompson mentally until he proves that he can come back and be a player. Now, you can't write off that contract. I don't remember who said it was the worst contract in the NBA after it was signed. But boy, that's looking accurate for all the wrong reasons. Bradley Beal is the player. That's the one. That's the one you have to target. That creates another Splash Brothers situation. You have to look at this team as if you have a big three. But instead of Klay Thompson, you have Andrew Wiggins. So you're never getting a four. You're probably just never getting a four again unless you draft one or develop one or get preposterously lucky. No one's going to see a fourth coming in and have it be obvious. You get three, and Klay is out. And Klay might still be on the roster, but Klay is out. So you need to maximize those three. Steph, Bradley Beal, and Draymond's pretty damn good. I don't know if it's good enough to win you a title. I think maybe you need four to win a title, but it's pretty damn good. And I think a significant upgrade over Wiggins, and you know that I'm Mr. Wings man, and I'm saying you don't have any, and you'll be better off because, and you probably want to make this move ASAP if it's at all possible,
right?
Because Wiggins is only, I don't think Wiggins is going to increase his trade value as the number two overall option on this Golden State Warriors team. Just throwing that out there.
It's absolutely right. When you talk about the ripple effects of this, Andrew Wiggins' life just got a lot harder because before, wide open pastures with Klay and Steph space on the floor. Now, it's not quite Minnesota, but he is going to be asked to do a whole lot more now on offense. They have to. I mean, who's the other 20 point per game scorer?
There's no other option.
It's Wiggins, and I'm sorry, it's Curry and it's Wiggins.
And it's whomever. And if they're really, really lucky, it's whomever that they can find with the traded player exception, the injury exception, which probably won't be get granted in any sort of expedient manner, which then limits who the Warriors can actually get with it. And then the mid-level exception. I mean, a 20-point scorer, you shouldn't be able to get that with any of those three mechanisms. Maybe if you're lucky to 17.
You're begging Danilo Gallinari to take a pay cut at that point, right? And that's all you can really do. Short of that, yeah. I don't see – and I don't think Gallinari is going to need to. He's got so many – suitors out there with cap space. I mean, he's not, unless he's so, and you know, he wants to play for a contender, sure, but the Warriors are a lot less of a contender without Klay. And so had they had
another huge thing that we saw last year.
Yeah, I think with Klay, they had a better chance of getting Gallo, you know?
Right.
And so Wiggins' life gets harder. The free agency recruitment becomes much harder when there are teams that also have mid-level exceptions like the Lakers and the Clippers out there who are ready-made contenders right now. And the Nuggets shouldn't, you know, disrespect them. And that's just the Western Conference. This is – the Beal name is the one. And everything that we've heard out of Washington is that they don't want to trade him. And so the only – if things go south with the Wizards quickly and they decide to blow it up by the trade deadline, that's the best case scenario for the Warriors. But for if you're Golden State, that doesn't mean that you get to go and be 15-50 again. You need to make moves right now with everything that you're talking about, the mid-level of the trade exception, that at least position you – to be a playoff team by the trade deadline so that you can acquire best case scenario. Again, best case scenario, you can grab Bradley Beal at the trade deadline and then vault yourself back into top four in the West status.
Right.
But what's that? That's going to take a lot. And we just saw the price of what that is. It's three first round picks.
That's a great player. That's a great point. We just saw this with all of the trades that the Bucks made or didn't make. We'll find out.
And so that's why when you ask, are the two mutually exclusive, winning now and winning later. They are now because you can't afford, as weird as this sounds, to give up Andrew Wiggins for anything less than Bradley Beal because he's your best wing right now. You can't just replace Wiggins with Zach LaVine. No. That doesn't work. And you don't have another way of getting
God, I would never cover this team again if they did that. It was hard enough to talk myself into Wiggins.
But that's what I'm talking about. Like without the Wiggins contract before was a lot more movable. Now it's not. Unless you're getting an all NBA type of player, which Bradley Beal is, and I don't really know other names that are going to be out there. And then you ask yourself this: Steph, Beal, Draymond, is that even better than what the Lakers have right now? And I don't think it is.
Well, the Lakers have what? They have two guys.
three guys.
No one's arguing that those two guys are unbelievably exceptional. Dennis Schroeder's a good player. Don't get me wrong. I think that the Warriors with that trio could be extremely competitive. I really do. But this is it. That's another great question. I made the analogy on Twitter today. It was a terrible analogy that, you know, the Warriors core, the core three guys should be allowed to have ridden this out until the wheels came off. But the wheel is off with Clay. Draymond's wheel is squeaky as hell. We actually don't have any idea what Steph's wheel is like, and we're just hoping that it's spick and span and he's not 32 years old and diminutive by the standard of his peers and that the game might have caught up to him a little bit because everybody's been playing the Steph Curry style. And, you know, you can only extend your range so damn far before at some point you're going to have to do something. And his finishing at the basket has been a little, we can go on. We're just going to presume that everything's A-okay with Steph Curry. Just presume it because, frankly, we have to have that at this point. Otherwise,
and,
we start
and everything that
the
we're
morning.
Hearing is that Steph's okay. And
I'm totally.
I mean, we also heard that with Clay too, but
whatever. And listen, who's to say? And then you have to have a fourth wheel to make the car go. And right now, the fourth wheel is Andrew Wiggins, and you've already mentioned it. There's no alternative for the Warriors. The jump has to happen today. It had to happen about 3 months ago so that he's ready to go by opening day. But he has to make the jump, and we're talking the jump to an all-star level player. Is it something that he has the talent to do? Yes. Is it something he has the temperament to do? I don't think so, but the Warriors don't have any other alternative. So you can argue that the wheels on this jalopy have already fallen off, that this bad boy can't take you very far, in which case, there's a nuclear option on the table.
There is. And I wanted to talk about that too, but quickly with Beal too. I feel like we're talking about this like it's a foregone conclusion that they can get.
Oh no, it's extremely difficult and it would be the best work of Bob Myers' life.
It would be like they don't have they can't trade picks 2024, 2025 or 2026 right. Because one of those are conveyed to Memphis. So
they can only trade one of their next two first round picks. Or they can trade trade their own 2021, their own 2020. I think they can do their own. No, they can only choose between 2021 or 2022 because 2023 would invoke the Stepien rule.
That's right. So you have two first round picks. You can use the pick swaps.
You can use a pick swap, right?
And you have then you'd have to throw Wiggins in there for salary matching purposes. That's the start of the deal. But you know, Washington would be asking for James Wiseman. They would. And you got to. And if you're the Warriors, the question you have to ask yourself right now, planning ahead, is if Beal becomes available, are we willing to trade Wiseman to get him?
It's Wiggins, Wiseman, and all your picks.
Wiggins, Wiseman, all the picks and pick swaps that you can throw in. And that still might not be good enough to get Beal. So I just wanted to put that out there. You mentioned a nuclear option. I don't know what you're alluding to necessarily, but I think we're on the same page. You blow everything up around Steph. You trade Draymond. You trade Wiggins. You completely
That's not the nuclear option. I'm talking nuclear.
Like, you trade Steph?
Nuclear? You trade Steph.
Do you trade Steve Kerr for a first-round pick while you're at it?
Steve would retire.
Steve can go back into broadcasting. Steve could do this podcast.
Steve can go do whatever he wants. He's already doing a podcast.
That's right.
It's something that has to be discussed.
Sure. It's something that has to be. Before we get to that, that's a nice little tease. Before we get to just the completely like Houston Rockets level of rebuild here, blow it up. The option just short of that, where you say, okay, this is now a big two league.
Right.
Who's the best number two that we can find to pair with Steph? And obviously the answer is Giannis, but that's not happening. To be in the cards
I don't
anymore.
Think it's going to happen. So, is it Bogey? Bogey seems to be on the market.
That's so crazy how that happened. Somebody tweeted the other day.
Love it.
I find it hard to believe that the Kings and the Bucks would screw this up without getting Bogdanovich's okay to go to Milwaukee in the first place. I'm like, are you really that surprised? Anyway.
By the way, the man is turning. Listen, we both love California with a passion, but like the man's turning down Milwaukee, but you're like, you're playing in Sacramento, my dude. Like you chose willingly to go to Sacramento, which, you know what, I can get behind it. I can understand, but I can also understand wanting to go to Milwaukee. So
he's a restricted free agent. It's his right to just say, hey, before you think I'm going to Milwaukee, I'll tell you where I'm going. I'm a free agent.
That's extremely true. I can appreciate a man trying to force his liberty onto the situation. Someone probably should have called him.
Just short of Bogdanovich or Giannis, though, I don't know who makes sense for Golden State's number two next to Steph Curry. And to acquire that player, it means trading Draymond Green and Wiggins and maybe even Wiseman. And maybe the idea is, hey, maybe Wiseman's that number two. Unless they see something in these next couple, like the first 2 months of the season. Well, that's what I'm saying. Unless you see something in these next couple months of the season, it's like, oh, this guy's an all-star right now. Which you and I don't think that he is.
No.
And the Warriors, by the way, don't think that he is.
He's JaVale McGee with some sliders turned up.
So now you have to start thinking, what are we willing to part with all of these to get our Anthony Davis? Because that's what I don't think Bradley Beal is that player. I think you need somebody who's a little bit more complimentary of Stephen Curry, more of a front court player who can create this more natural 1-4, 1-5 pairing. And around that, you could throw as many Glenn Robinsons and Alec Burks as you want at it. It'll be okay. We just saw it work for the Lakers.
So you're saying go full Lakers, go full Clippers.
I mean, that's what the NBA is now, right? It's a big two, and then you use your mid-level exception every year to add more depth.
But Wes, if you're
Bob Myers, you try to strike on the Eric Paschals and the Nico Mannions of the world.
Yeah, but you know better than anybody else that the team that the Lakers played in the finals doesn't do it that way. And while they still, you know, sign big-time free agents and stuff like that, like that's not the way that they go about their business. The Miami Heat seem to be doing pretty A-okay.
Sure, but can the Warriors reach that level? I mean,
if they kept Jerry West around.
I mean, unless Wiseman is the second coming of Bam Adebayo, and again, you and I
he
are
is
dubious.
I'd love to be proven wrong. That'd be very interesting.
Even if he were, then who's Golden State's Tyler Hero? You know, and that's kind of maybe you get like these outsized contributions from the Minnesota pick next year and your own first round pick, and you just rely on rookies. But is that really the plan here with Steph at 32 years old?
Well, that's the other thing, too. I mean, how long is this Steph window? I understand that he keeps himself in incredible shape, but he's played a lot of playoff miles. Like everyone goes, well, LeBron is still doing it. LeBron is a freak. He doesn't apply. We're talking about human beings here. And
it's 2 to 3 years. I think that's fair. 2 to 3 years.
Okay, well, you just lost one. They can't win a title this year. I don't think they can win a title this year. Not with the mechanisms that they have available to them. I don't think they can win a title. I think that they can maybe make the Western Conference Finals if everything breaks their way.
That would be a nice outcome, and that puts you in position at least. Like if you're a Western Conference Finals,
to then make another jump.
Yeah, I mean, you're one mid-level exception target, and another, and the Lakers and Clippers getting, and you know, maybe the Clippers blowing up in 2021 from being in the finals. That's fine. You got to position yourself. I've got names. You want to hear names?
Let's hear names.
What would it take to get Pascal Siakam?
That's a great question.
Would they do Wiseman straight up? Wiseman in a first?
Well, you'd have to include Wiggins.
I'm not that worried about that.
If any team can mentally get its mind around adding Andrew Wiggins, I think it's the Canadian one. But that would be.
And
so we're talking the Beal package, right? What we just explained, it might not be good enough.
I don't think for Siakam you need the Beal package, something short of that. But even like, let's just talk about the player and the fit. I mean, is Siakam and Steph enough? It's not quite there, right?
No, but if you're buying the same upside that the Raptors bought when they maxed him out.
Right. And you need to bank on him hitting that upside like tomorrow.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about that.
I think Siakam's just shy of what we're talking about here. Just not quite the level.
I, I fully agree with you, but I like where your head's at. And ultimately, the Warriors are going to have to, you know, they're going to have to ask for another card on 16, right? Like, they're going to have to get a little lucky here.
They are.
So
the other okay. name is one of the 76ers, Ben Simmons or Joel Embiid. I think that if you're not getting Beal, those are the guys I'm looking. I mean, Joel Embiid and Steph Curry is exactly the kind of fit that I'm talking about right now.
Is that a championship duo?
I think it could be.
Could be. Probably has a better chance than Siakam. Certainly has a better chance than Wiggins.
You get the eighth or ninth best player in the league in Embiid and the fourth, fifth, or sixth best player in the league in Steph.
And yeah, you know, definitely, I think it's a better option than Beal, but barely. And maybe it's just because of the way that you can build your roster around it. You know how I feel about centers. So yeah. You're giving up Wiseman. You're giving up the draft picks. You're giving up Wiggins.
Yeah, you're giving up. You're going all in. And you're signing.
Wiggins is probably going somewhere else. I don't think that Daryl keeps him. Sure. There's something there.
If they end up trading Ben Simmons for James Harden, you could throw this deal out the window too. Because they're going to build around Harden and Embiid, and you don't have to trade Embiid anymore.
Well, until they realize that, you know, James Harden doesn't work with a real center.
I think he could.
I think Daryl Morey in his previous job, which we don't talk about, kind of figured out that maybe he doesn't though.
Blake Griffin.
No, it's not good enough.
Not good.
It's
enough.
Fun. You know what? Truth be told, if you could buy low on Blake Griffin, so we're talking like just Wiggins. I don't know. The Pistons did just procure all of the wings in the draft. So it's clear what they're trying to do. And that's how, you know, their new GM, who used to be the number two guy in Oklahoma City, that's how Oklahoma City does business. They get wings, they get upside, they get physicality and potential. So Wiggins probably isn't in his on his radar. But I do really conceptually, maybe I'm stuck in 2014, conceptually like the thought of Blake Griffin pick and pop game with Steph Curry. I think that that could actually work pretty well. Now, maybe the right option there, I'm going to say it, is Draymond for Blake straight up.
Right. That would be the deal, right? Like, you can't have Blake and Draymond, I don't think, on the same team necessarily.
Which, by the way, Draymond would not forgive the Warriors for that, because he does not like Blake Griffin.
And I don't think that the Warriors would do that. There's so much equity that Draymond has, and there is a 1-2 game between Steph and Draymond. And by the way, get ready to see a lot of that this next season. Steph and Draymond pick and roll.
Will it be as good as the Nico Mannion, Andrew Wiggins second unit pick and roll?
Probably not, but I mean, they could aspire to something. I think that's something you could build around, but again, it's not quite the big two levels that we're talking about. I got two other names for you, and then I'll wrap
up.
Let's just monitor what's happening with the Clippers. You might not be able to get Kawhi Leonard at this trade deadline. They're going to go all in, but if things go south they can't sign him outright. But if Kawhi wants to go to the Warriors, they will find a way to sign and trade their way to Kawhi Leonard. So that would be my other thing, is start getting in Kawhi's ear, right? It's Steph and Kawhi. That now we're talking about a 1-2 punch.
How would that happen? Why would the Clippers facilitate something like that?
Because he's leaving anyway. And so you want to get, if you can get James Wiseman out of the deal, you do it. Or whoever it would be, a first round pick, whatever it is for the sign and trade. Like if you're the Clippers and Kawhi has already made it clear, hey, not working here, I'm walking, sorry, Steve Ballmer. And I'm going to the Warriors, which we've seen superstars like Kawhi get their way and go to where they want to go. If he telegraphs that he's going to Golden State, then they might just try to get something out of him. So if I'm the Warriors, I'm getting in Kawhi's ear, wherever that, if that even exists in that robot head of his. And I'm saying, hey, you know, this is way better. If you could still live in California, quick drive down the one, you're back home. And
my dude was out here living in San Diego while playing for the Clippers. Like, it's a bit more of a commute there. Maybe Steve and him can charter private planes back.
Maybe.
And forth.
By the way, I'm switching beats if they get Kawhi, because my job would be a nightmare. But
it's as if it already isn't. We live a waking nightmare every day. What about Paul George in the same somewhat circumstance?
I mean, if you wanted a guy that just craps the bed in the playoffs every year, you can just use the TPE on Eric Bledsoe.
Fair enough.
Last name here. Rudy Gobert.
Oh, come on.
Listen to me. He's a top 10 player. He is not.
At center? What sport are you talking about?
Top 15. Top 20. Top 20.
I'll give you 25.
Top 25 player, defensive player of the year.
Yes.
Player right now. You need to fix your defense. Put Rudy Gobert in the middle of it. Defense fixed. It's done. He is the he's the defense version of James Harden.
But I was told that James Wiseman will do that. I was told that James Wiseman will do that right out of the gate.
Rudy Gobert is 28 years old.
Yeah.
James Wiseman's ceiling is Rudy Gobert.
That's fair.
What if you just traded Wiseman for Rudy Gobert right now? The sell to Utah.
You and I agree.
Go ahead.
You and I agree that the ceiling is Rudy Gobert. The Warriors have somehow convinced themselves that the ceiling for James Wiseman is Anthony Davis.
I'm not sure about that. I think that they determined that James Wiseman is the best player out of the guys that were there.
And I don't necessarily disagree.
And I think that they think that he could be Rudy Gobert with a Brook Lopez jumper.
That's still better than Rudy Gobert.
Sure, but he's also never going to be Rudy Gobert on defense. Rudy Gobert is a genius defensive player who never dealt with the basic recognition issues of pick and roll that James Wiseman deals with. And so I think that if we think he's going to be Rudy Gobert, you're kidding yourself. It's not enough to just be 7 feet with a 7-6-foot wingspan.
You still have the Draymond problem in this scenario.
I'm willing to deal with it. Because, look, that's the thing you figure out later, right? Draymond and do Draymond and Wiseman to Utah for Gobert and I don't know Joe Ingles or something.
At least one of those guys can knock down an outside shot.
There you go. If you're Utah, you say, look, Donovan Mitchell's 24 years old. Let's get a guy who pairs with his window a little bit more and Wiseman who at least projects as a guy who could develop an outside jumper, which is the problem with our team right now is that Rudy Gobert doesn't have that. If you're the Warriors, you don't necessarily need Gobert to have an outside jumper because you have Steph. I'm just saying, if you were going to go
nobody else who can shoot.
If you were going to go all in, like when I'm talking about all in.
Oh, you're all
that's
in.
That's the move.
You're all in.
That's the look. I'm not convinced I would do this, but that's the move. Is Wiseman and salary for Gobert, whatever it takes. If it's Wiggins, if it's Draymond, whatever you need to do.
Yeah.
Somebody that with a trade exception. I mean, you could do this theoretically. You get a guy at the trade exception, call Kelly Oubre.
And do it at the trade
deadline. Plus Wiseman. And then you do Gobert. Or, yeah, whatever. Within the first month of the season or whatever the deadline is. That to me.
You talked me into it.
Is the all-in move. And now you've got Gobert and Steph. And you still got your first round picks. You still got all that other fun stuff.
It's not great, but I like it, and it's more realistic in theory than any of the other ones, including the Kawhi one. But then again, Kawhi's inscrutable, so who's to say? Listen, at the very core, the Warriors are going to have to do what they say that they've wanted to do for years now, which is draft and develop at an exceptional level, at a Spurs-like level. Clearly, that is not happening. And I would say it's a fundamental issue. I would say I can point to many reasons as to why this might be the case, including starting with the not great evaluations of guys that they're drafting, maybe a little too pie in the sky. Maybe they lock on to a certain thing and maybe go with it for reasons that at some point are totally nonsensical but they just locked in and this is their guy and they'll trade three times to keep that guy around. Not that I'm mentioning any names in particular, but it's if they want to be the Spurs, they have to show that they're the Spurs. At some point, they just can't say it because guess what? The opportunity to just talent your way out of the situation is gone. You're going to have to develop some now. And certainly they developed it coming in. Maybe they need to hire Mark Jackson as an assistant coach. I don't know, but it's there is a palpable desperation when I talk to people. And there was already a nervousness, a clear nervousness about this upcoming season because no one knew. No one knew. And that's fair and understandable. But no one knew. And there was a, you know, listen, there was a doubt in the back of everybody's mind that, oh, shit, this might not work out. That we might be all in on something that is no longer tenable. The league has Warriorsified. Everybody in the league plays like the Warriors if they know what the hell they're doing. So they don't have a market advantage there. These guys are older. Draymond might be the oldest of all of them, and yet he's the youngest of all of them because of the miles he's putting on. Now, maybe the Warriors with rest going into this regular season can LeBron it like last year and just go full bore for 72. Maybe. And they can pull that off, and then we'll see where they're at come playoff time if the playoffs even happen because of the world. Maybe that works out. But now you're going all in on 2021 when you are not at your full complement. And how many miles are Steph and Draymond going to pick up just that they don't have to play in a play-in game? This is the danger zone. So thinking of a nuclear option, considering the nuclear option of blowing it all up needs to be at least discussed. And I trust that the Warriors will discuss that option. They shouldn't do it, but it needs to be discussed. Draymond getting dealt needs to be discussed. Now, I don't know who the hell would take Draymond, but I can tell you this. I doubt that many people would want Draymond after this year. Even fewer would want him after this year. You know, understanding that Wiggins is what he is and that the likelihood is much higher that he, you know, lowers his trade value than increases it, as he has always been a trade chip, that's something that's a real come to Jesus moment that they should be having right now. And, you know, understanding fully that the championship window as once currently constructed, one where the Warriors, when healthy, were not just, you know, at one point certainly, you know, considered championship contenders. And then beyond that, the favorites, bar none, the prohibitive favorites. The prohibitive favorite era is over. The championship contender era is hanging on by a thread and perhaps is over in and of itself. I would argue that it is in earnest.
Right.
That is a tough conversation that needs to happen as well. And honestly, the Warriors might have gotten so high on their supply for so long, and probably for good reason. It was very good supply, that I'm not sure they're ready to have that reckoning just yet. It is a tough reckoning to have, but this is the danger zone, and I can see it spiraling more than I can see everything being hunky-dory.
And look, you're absolutely right. The years of just being so much more talented than everybody else to an unfair degree are clearly over. And I mentioned all of these like kind of crazy options, which
they're not crazy. They're conversations that need to happen.
Yeah, if you're this front office, you have to have them. I think ultimately what happens though with this whole ordeal is that, hey, let's go into the season, see what all of this looks like without Clay. With Steph being healthy, we're going to be better. With Wiseman in the middle, we presume to be a little bit more stable at that position. And let's make some moves with the trade exception, the mid-level exception, and you spend that money to the fullest extent that you can. And you make the best acquisitions possible with that. You still got two first round picks and a nice draft class in 2021, and then Clay comes back. It's not quite a gap year, but I think what they owe to themselves to say, look, how good is this team on the floor? We've got the trade deadline to make changes if we determine we need to make changes by then. Just try to keep your head above water, be in playoff position by the trade deadline, maybe make a move on the margin, increase your chances to just be a good playoff team. And then who knows what happens? An injury can happen just like it did to them, and you're in the finals or something like that. And if you're really going to go with the Spurs model, the Spurs only for a couple of years were way more talented than everybody else, and even then it's debatable. And they were never as, you know, far and away talented as the Warriors were in the Durant era. But you just bide your time. You just be good. Just be good for as long as possible. Be a top four seed for as long as possible. And then sometimes the Kawhi Leonard thing happens, and boom, you're off and running. And I think ultimately that's what the Warriors are going to do here. Maybe a year from now, Clay comes back hunky dory, and you're fine. If not, you deal with it then. I think they should make some sort of win now move here. Mm-hmm. I think that you can't really afford to use your TPE and mid-level exception on project 23 and 24-year-olds anymore. You got to go get guys that can play right now in meaningful playoff minutes. But outside of that, or Bradley Beal coming over, I don't really know what you do.
Okay, give me two names for the TPE. Give me two names for the mid-level.
The TPE, I'm looking at Eric Bledsoe and Eric Gordon. And I know a lot of Warriors fans are rolling their eyes on that, and I get it. But there are not better options. And I don't want to hear the Kelly Oubre thing anymore. We just, like, you don't trust.
I love Kelly Oubre. Don't get me wrong. It just doesn't make sense.
I love Oubre on another team. He's a lot of fun. I love the runway thing. I would like him on my team, by the way. But yeah. I don't think he's the right fit for Golden State. You're asking a 24-year-old to pick up a lot of rope there, and I don't think he's got one year starting under his belt. So that's just not – and the Suns looked much better without him. Don't know how much that has to do with him, but they did in the bubble. But so not Kelly Oubre, basically. Eric Bledsoe, Eric Gordon. Bledsoe, Gordon coming off of down years on big contracts. They owe a lot of money. There's a lot of years left on both of them. Bledsoe's 30. Gordon's 31. Their teams may right now be willing to part with them for almost nothing. And they both,
in fact, they might throw in a draft pick there.
Yes, they might. Yeah. And that's Bob Myers, by the way, could use another first round pick now. If he wants to, you know, keep adding to his stash of draft picks. You know, that would be the guy. Those would be the guys, because in Bledsoe, look, I know that you're losing Clay, and it's nice to have another all-world shooter next to Steph. But when you're really talking about building around Steph, you need two things, and that's versatile defenders and playmakers, because everything is based around making things as easy as possible for Steph Curry on offense and defense. And Eric Bledsoe is an all-NBA defender right now and can drive and kick with the best of them. And you could see that working, you know, with Stephen Curry just sort of relocating on the perimeter. Yeah, you know, you'll have to deal with his annual, you know, crap the bed.
You should be so lucky as to find out if he's still going to do that come the playoff time. I mean, honestly, right,
exactly.
These are the
options we're talking about. And then with Eric Gordon, career 37% 3-point shooter, again, coming off a really tough year, but it's basically a 40% shooter for his career if you take out last season. And last season was weird in Houston, so I don't really hold it that much against him. Willing passer, like willing ball mover, he had to be, and he is. And like a stout, like solid defender. I mean, they would throw Eric Gordon in Houston at real legit scoring wings, and he held his own. I think you could do worse than both of those guys. And when we're talking about the TPE, like the other options are what? Like Evan Fournier or J.J. Redick? Like, cool, you got shooting, but you got flimsy defense there. They both totally play make a little bit, but not. They're going to get attacked in a backcourt with Steph Curry, so that's not an option. Tony Snell's off the table. He just got traded while we were recording this, and he's a 40% shooter, but can't do anything else at an above average level. This is kind of what we're dealing with here.
Now the issue is with Bledsoe. In theory, he's a Pelican. In theory, I don't know if that's fine.
Right, you would have to reroute stuff. I don't know how you make it happen.
The Pelicans are happy to have him. I mean, they just got the bounty, so they're not going to attach something to get rid of them. That's not a salary.
If you're the Warriors, you throw a second round pick or maybe your own 2021 first at them. I mean, and that's the other thing too. If you need to part with a draft pick, then you're eating into your Bradley Beal treasure chest a little bit, and that's some calculus you got to do.
This is you have to come to Jesus when it pertains to the high end, and you got to do it when it comes to the low end. And I think it's a lot easier to look at the low end and say, okay, we got to stave that off. You also, I mean, listen, I wrote last week. I don't know, it might have been a day ago. They had to let the Giannis thing go. It just wasn't going to happen. They're never going to get him through free agency, and clearly, the Bucks are going to die with Giannis or without him. They're going all in. He is the franchise. Can't blame him for that. Not one bit.
Mid-level exceptions. I mean,
yeah.
The list looks worse now. It's the same list, but without Clay, it looks worse. I mean, Jay Crowder, Chris Dunn, Derek Jones Jr., Austin Rivers, Etuan Moore, Mo Harkless, Michael Carter Williams, Andre Roberson. I mean, they all would have been helpful depth pieces on a team with Clay.
But now when
Andrew Wiggins
pieces.
Is now your best wing,
yeah,
you know, you're asked, like, though they're not checking all those boxes that I was talking about. Like, yeah, Jay Crowder is a nice shooter and he's a good defender, but he doesn't relocate and doesn't move the ball that well. Chris Dunn can't shoot.
No, Chris Dunn's a terrible offensive player. Great defender.
Derek Jones Jr. is more of a good defensive player in theory than he is even a good defensive player, and he can't do anything.
I'm not even sure what it is he does. I mean, you know
Derek Jones Jr. is going to get paid this summer, because every time I see some sort of blog of, hey, under the radar free agent that the Bulls or the Pelicans or the Celtics target, Derek Jones Jr. is on every single one of those lists. He's going to get paid this summer way more than he should.
Fine, as long as it's not the Warriors, because again, like, it seems like a nice guy, but I have no idea what it is he does.
They have five
besides jump high.
They have, that's right, five, and he's got long arms and he can anchor his own defense, which expect the Warriors to use more of that. $5.7 million in the mid-level exception. And I think you're going to have to throw a lot of that at a guy like Wesley Matthews or, hey, Glenn Robinson III. That playing time that you were looking for, we got it again.
Oh, baby.
Same reasons why. Different ending, same reason.
You know why you were crying after you left Golden State? Guess what? We're about to put a smile on your face. You are about to get all the minutes once more, my friend. It's bad. It's not good. And yeah.
You trade for Eric Gordon with the TPE and you add Wesley Matthews to this team.
Now yeah.
You've got Steph, Gordon, Wiggins, Draymond, Marquise Chris, probably your opening day starter at center. You've got Wiseman, Wesley Matthews coming off the bench. Maybe you get Austin Rivers at the minimum, so you have some playmaking off the bench.
Yeah.
I mean, how, like, where is that team in the West, hypothetically? Is that somewhere
Six.
With somewhere Portland, right? Somewhere with Portland and Dallas? That's,
yeah, big Portland vibes there. Big Portland vibes.
I don't know how much, if Steph's your lone superstar, you're basically Portland again. That's what you are.
I'd rather have Bledsoe. I think actually Bledsoe makes this team significantly better.
For the regular season, for sure.
Yeah, ain't that the truth? But again, the regular season is now in doubt. Bob was talking last week, I think, where he goes, hey, man, you know, once we get to the times where this really matters, it won't matter if we're in the bubble or not. Like, he was just talking as if the playoffs were a foregone conclusion. And then guess what? Really only the top six truly get in, and you just lost your second best player for the entire year. I don't know if playoffs are a foregone conclusion, the true playoffs.
I mean, who has the better two players? Anymore. Who has the top two players between Golden State and Phoenix right now? I mean, this is what we're talking about.
Phoenix does.
Does. Yes, absolutely. Without Klay Thompson, that's absolutely true.
Yeah. And they might have better depth. I like their depth a lot. James Wiseman better be DeAndre Ayton now.
That's what they're hoping. Yeah. If Ayton takes another step like he did between his first and second year,
they're a better team.
Defense is going to be legit, and they got Mikal Bridges, who is an defensive player of the year candidate in the waiting, and they, of course, got Devin Booker and Chris Paul. I mean, that seems okay.
Seems okay. You want to move to Phoenix?
I really
considering
don't.
It. Oh, really? Yeah, I can.
I mean, they just went blue, right? So that's nice.
Hey. Hey, man, whatever gets you over the top. I mean, I don't know how you're functioning with the Florida thing. It's not bueno, and it is Bob Myers' job to make it bueno, and he doesn't have very much time. So we will see how that goes down, and we will talk, Wes, sometime next week. I don't know. Whenever free agency feels like it has reached a nadir, we'll get back on here and figure out what the hell just happened.
That's what we do.
All right. Later.